Good morning, neighbors. It's a pleasure to be among God's people once again. When asked by the scribes, "Teacher, which is the great commandment?" Jesus' response is found in Matthew 22, verse 37 to 40. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." What I'd like to do this morning is to focus on the second part of this commandment that states we are to love our neighbor as yourself. And the title happens to be "Love Your Neighbor as Yourself." So I ask myself, how do we or how are we to love ourselves, and how does this translate into loving others? Well, we love ourselves by nurturing and caring for ourselves. We provide for our physical, emotional, and spiritual needs. Now, there are people who do not love themselves. They neglect providing for themselves the things which promote health and well-being. And in extreme cases, they may do things to harm themselves, even to the point of self-destruction. Now, there are wrong forms of self-love, and these take the form of selfishness, self-centeredness, and there's an extreme form that's called narcissism. Now, the hallmarks of an individual with narcissistic personality are grandiosity, a lack of empathy for other people, and a need for admiration. They're often described as arrogant, self-centered, manipulative, and demanding. They also have difficulty tolerating criticism or defeat and may be left to feel humiliated or empty when they experience injury in the form of criticism or rejection. Now, the form of self-love that Christ taught is one of outgoing nurturing and caring for others. This would be by providing for their emotional, physical, and spiritual needs. Now, the extreme of this may sometimes be referred as selflessness. Now, selflessness is a concern more for the needs and wishes of others than one's own. Let's turn to Philippians 2, verses 3 through 8, which expresses it in this following way. It's Philippians 2, and we're going to be reading verses 3 through 8. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Now, Christ's sacrifice for mankind can be seen as the extreme and supreme example of selflessness. Now, the idea of whose one neighbor is has been expounded upon by many people and by Christ himself in the story of the Good Samaritan. We say that Canada and Mexico are our neighbors, and today people of the earth refer to everybody comprising a global village, and as such, everyone would be considered neighbors, regardless of physical, social, or cultural differences. As such, our loving neighbors should extend to all people. Now, the command to love your neighbor is first enunciated in Leviticus 19, verse 18. And it's mentioned 8 times in the New Testament. In Leviticus 9, 9 and 10, we see a principle of loving neighbor. "When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field, nor shall you gather the gleaning of your harvest. And you shall not glean your vineyard, nor shall you gather every grape of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and the stranger. I am the Lord your God." Now, most of us do not have fields or vineyards, but what is a principle that we can take away from this scripture that we can apply today? How about maybe we should set aside a portion of our increases for those who have physical needs? Living generously towards the poor is one principle in loving neighbor as ourselves. Now, the word neighbor is synonymous with fellow creature. The Israelites later in history took this to mean those people that were in close proximity to them or their own countrymen. But Christ corrected this perception in Luke 10, verse 30, where he tells the story of the Good Samaritan. Now, this is a story of mercy and compassion towards a complete stranger who was in need. Proverbs 14:21 states the following: "He who despises his neighbor sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he." This is the second principle of loving neighbor as ourselves. Now, another way of thinking of neighbor as yourself is to view them as self in a mirror. A person, much like yourself, created in the image of God, just like you. Someone to care for, just like you care for yourself. And someone to be marked with mutual supportive fellowship. We err if we only extend the idea of neighbor to friends and loved associates. Now, Matthew 5, and you can start turning there if you will, 43 through 48 reminds us that we are even to love our enemies and by extension to call them neighbor as well. "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." So Christ is instructing us to be holy and just as our Father is. This is his desire and this is his goal for us. Did Christ exhibit this attitude? Did he not wash the feet of Judas on the night that he was betrayed by Judas? Did not the Pharisees chide him for fellowshipping with sinners, as recorded in Luke 15:1? When Christ instructs us to love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, a part of this is what follows, which is to love our neighbors as ourselves. In one manner of speaking, this is an invisible way of fulfilling the law and the prophets. There are many ways that God instructs us to love our neighbors, and several of them can be found in Leviticus 19, verses 9 through 18. And I would encourage you to read that. But I'd like us to consider a couple principles found in Leviticus 19, 17, and 18, where it states the following: "You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall surely rebuke your neighbor and not bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." This hearkens to the admonition that Christ taught his disciples when he said that if we have an attitude of hatred, it's the same as having a murderous heart. Hating in your heart is holding on to a grudge. A grudge is a persistent feeling of resentment resulting from a past injury or hurt. We would not want someone to hold a grudge against us, so we should not hold grudges against others. The second part of this verse brings up another interesting principle, which is to rebuke your neighbor and bear not sin against him. I liked Adam Clark's commentary, so I'll share that with you as he goes on to explain this verse. "If you see him in sin or know him to be addicted to anything by which the safety of his soul is endangered, you shall mildly and affectionately reprove him, and by no means permit him to go on without counseling and advisement. In a multitude of cases, timely reproof has been the means of saving the soul. Speak to him privately if possible. If not, write to him in such a way that he alone shall see it. End of quote. Now, the principle here is taking personal responsibility for helping brother or neighbor in need when you see them doing something that is harmful to them. This is done compassionately and not judgmentally. Now, the last part of the sentence, not bear sin because of him, appears to indicate that by not reproving him, but harboring hatred feelings towards the offender, we incur the sin of ill will. And finally, Leviticus 19:18 ends with, I am the Lord, thereby indicating who's making the statement and emphasizing it. Now, I've discussed four principles that are indicated in the Bible for loving your neighbor as yourself. Now, there are many others throughout the Bible, including the Ten Commandments. It is our goal as the children of God to learn and internalize all of them. Let's review the ones discussed today. The first principle mentioned was to provide for the physical, emotional, and spiritual needs of others, regardless of who they are, and to have generosity towards the poor, which is one principle for loving our neighbor as ourselves. And the second principle was provided in Proverbs 14:21, where it says, he who despises his neighbor's sins, but he who has mercy on the poor, happy is he. And this would include all who might be considered our enemies as well. Now, a third principle of loving our neighbor as ourselves is not to hate in our heart or hold grudges for a past injury or insult. This would include those who might even be considered our enemies. The fourth principle involves being proactive in helping someone who is practicing a particular sin that could have tragic consequences for them. By choosing not to help because of ill will towards them, that could be considered a sin for us. We live in a world, brethren, where divisions and grudges exist among many groups: political, national, racial, ethnic, even religious. We need to avoid not getting caught up in these divisive trends and hatreds. We should instead hearken to our Savior's instruction that is found in John 15:12, where he says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you."